You're listening to Breaking Our Silence with host Lupi Marino on the CWR Network.
Hi, welcome to Breaking Our Silence. I'm your host, Lupi Marino. Since today is February 1st and it is Teen Dating Abuse Awareness Month, I thought it would be only fitting to talk about teen dating violence. According to DoSomething.org, it listed 11 facts about teen dating violence. Roughly 1.5 million high school boys and girls in the U.S. admit to being intentionally hit or physically harmed in the last year by someone they are romantically involved with. Teens who suffer dating abuse are subject to long-term consequences like alcoholism, eating disorders, promiscuity, thoughts of suicide, and violent behavior. 1 in 3 young people will be in an abusive or unhealthy relationship. 33% of adolescents in America to sexual, physical, verbal, or emotional dating abuse. In the United States, 25% of high school girls have been abused physically or sexually. Teen girls who are abused this way are 6 times more likely to become pregnant or contract a sexually transmitted infection. Females between the ages of 16 and 24 are roughly 3 times more likely than the rest of the population to be abused by an intimate partner. 8 states in the United States do not consider a violent dating relationship domestic abuse. Therefore, adolescents, teens, and 20-somethings are unable to apply for a restraining order for protection from the abuser. Violent behavior often begins between 6th and 12th grade. 72% of 13 and 14-year-olds are dating. 50% of young people who are experiencing rape or physical or sexual abuse will attempt to commit suicide. Only 1/3 of teens who were involved in an abusive relationship confided in someone about the violence. And teens who have been abused hesitate to seek help because they do not want to expose themselves or are unaware of the laws surrounding domestic violence. Wow, I'm looking at this last one, one talking about 6th and 12th grade. That's when they start dating. That is so young, very young, to be starting with domestic abuse, which is another reason why I chose to talk about this topic. It's a topic that's close to my heart because I was a teen when I first became a domestic violence victim. I didn't know any better, and many times that's why victims become victims, because they don't know anything better. They don't know what healthy relationships are, or they might grow up witnessing abuse, and so they think it's okay. I became interested in sharing more about this topic in 2013 when I was doing an assignment for one of my classes in college, and I got to thinking, you know, we teach kids in school about drug use, alcohol use, you know, don't drink and drive. Now it's the don't text. Teach them about sexually transmitted diseases and suicide prevention, so many different things. And but do we teach them enough about domestic violence and what are healthy relationships? Do we teach them what to look for, what to avoid? And how do they even know the signs if they're in an abusive relationship? So there are a few different types that I would like to discuss today, and that is physical, the psychological, emotional, sexual, stalking, and economic types of abuse. The physical, which is the one that's the more common one that we tend to know more about, because that's the one that gets the most attention. You see pictures of victims with black eyes, busted lips, you know, or sometimes even pictures of them lying in a hospital bed. And unfortunately, sometimes we don't find out about a victim being abused until we find out that they've been murdered. There are many cases of teen murder or in suicide murder suicides. I know when I used to work for law enforcement agency typing up police reports, and there were a couple times where I had to type up police reports on that same topic, where it was a murder-suicide involving teenagers. And that's touching for me. It hits close to home because I know I could have been one of those statistics. And I thank God every day that I'm here and I wasn't one of those. My case didn't get that bad, and I'm so grateful for that. So physical abuse is a type that people usually think about when domestic violence is mentioned. It includes scratching, biting, grabbing or spitting at their intimate partner, shaking, shoving, pushing, restraining or throwing her, twisting, slapping, punching, strangling, burning, throwing objects at the victim. It can be so many different physical things, throwing items, like arguing. And a lot of times when the victim is going through physical abuse, it might not even show, which was my case. My abuser did not leave marks on me that other people could see. They were mainly on my back, my legs, my like shoulder areas, my arms. So I always wore long sleeves and pants so nobody would be able to see them. And so a lot of times a victim can be going through it and others won't even know. Just because you don't see the signs doesn't mean that it isn't happening. Psychological abuse includes verbally attacking and humiliating the victim in private or public, playing mind games, ignoring her feelings, threatening to leave her or that if he will leave, accusing her of cheating on him, always claiming that they're right, and being unfaithful. People might think, you know, that cheating is, okay, it's not really abuse, but it is. It's psychological. It plays with your mind, with the victim's mind, and they'll use that sometimes for the control and pretty much tell you, okay, well, especially like when it comes to sex, and if you don't have sex with me, well, then I know she will. And they can use that to pressure you into having sex when you don't want to. And it's just another excuse for them to go and be with other people. And although I'm saying she as the victim, males are always also victims. So this goes both ways, even though I might only be saying she. Please know that I am aware and I want everybody to know that males are also victims. It's not only the females. So that is a lot of times sexual is a lot used in to control. And even then, after they get you to have sex with them, they can use that against you to then do other things that they want you to do, because they can hold it against your over your head and tell people, well, if you don't, then I'm going to tell them what we did. I'm going to tell them what you did, you know, all this stuff. And if the victim doesn't want people to know that she's no longer a virgin or, you know, the things that they're doing, they don't want that secret to come out. then chances are they're going to more do what their abuser is telling them to do because they're afraid of their secret coming out. So the abuser will use that not only for sexually, you know, intimidation, but for other things, just having the control. Stalking. Stalking refers to the pattern of harassing or threatening tactics that are unwanted and cause fear in the victim. In teen dating abuse, the abuser will follow the victim to know where she is at all times and who she is with. He may also check her social media accounts, emails, text message, and the call log on her cell phone. He might be asking for her passwords or demanding her passwords. And again, this could be coming in with the threats. Well, if you give it to me, give me your passwords, or I'm going to tell people that you did this or you did that. And they'll check, the abuser can check all your social media accounts. Go and see who you're talking to. No privacy, because they want to know everything that you do. They can tell you, oh, no, you can't be friends with this person, or you're not going to be friends with that person. And they'll check up on you to see when, you know, who you are not talking to. And I think as social media came along and we have the internet, it's just easier for abusers to stalk their victims and to know where they are or what they're doing. When I was going through it, this was back in the 80s, we didn't have the internet and stuff, so it wasn't as easy. But my abuser still had total control over me. And he somehow ended up getting me, gradually isolating me first from my friends and family, and pretty much had me to the point where I told him everything that I did. He knew what time I woke up to the time I went to bed, what I ate every day, who I talked to. It was really bad, and I can only imagine how much worse it would have been in times like this where they have the internet and tracking, you know, on phones and stuff. So that it's gotten, I would say, from my opinion, it's easier now for abusers to stalk their victims. Economic abuse is when the abuser controls all the money, doesn't let the victim work outside the home, or sabotages her attempts to work or go to school, refuses to work and makes her support the family, and or ruins her credit rating. Of course, this is goes for mainly adults and teens, because teens now, you know, teens can have jobs. It's not just adults. And you might be a teen parent working to support your kids. The abuser doesn't always like when the victim is working and has money. They want to control everything. Sometimes they might go to your job and start causing problems for you there so that you're going to get fired. They don't want you to go to school. So they might tell you, oh, no, come and spend time with me instead of going to class. You don't need to go to class. You can miss. And before you know it, it becomes a pattern. You get behind in your schoolwork. Your grades start to drop. And then eventually you end up just dropping out of school altogether. So that's another way that they use education in your job. They don't want to see you succeed. They want to see you fail. A lot of times it's from their own insecurities because they feel like you might get smart and you might go up. You're going to go places. And in their mind, they might think, okay, well, now she's going to be too good for me. She's not going to want me. So their way of controlling you is to keep you down. Abusers don't want to see you rise. They don't want to see you succeed. In a healthy relationship, your partner is going to want to see you succeed. They're going to encourage you to go to school, go get a degree, get a job, go for a promotion. They want to see you do good. So that's how you can know if you're in a healthy relationship or in an abusive one. Abusive one is not going to let you have friends. They're going to start isolating you. They don't want from your friends and your family. Healthy relationship is going to encourage you to to spend time with your family, have friends, go out, socialize, do fun things. You can do fun things together as couples, and you also do things on your own. It's okay to have a girl's night out, a guy's night out. That's a healthy relationship when you can go separate and do your own thing and be able to trust that person, knowing that they're going to go out, they're going to have a good time, and they're not going to cheat on you. An abusive relationship, even if you do happen to go out, they're going to be wanting to know, okay, who'd you talk to? Where were you? And then you come home, or the next time they talk to you, they're accusing you of cheating on them. That is not a healthy relationship. Healthy relationships have trust. And if you don't have a trust, that's a big sign right there that you're not in a healthy relationship. I know in the beginning, when you're young, sometimes it can be flattering when the person that you're dating gets a little jealous. And being jealous, it's normal to get, you know, it's like, oh, no. But when it gets to the point where they're so jealous that they don't let you talk to anybody else of the opposite sex, they don't even want you to look in the direction of another male or female. Because I know there are a lot of girls out there, too, who are so jealous and they don't want their boyfriends talking to other girls. It's okay to have friendships with people from the opposite sex or in the same sex. If you are homosexual, lesbian, that's another part of being in the sexual abuse. Sometimes people haven't come out of the closet. They haven't told people that they're gay. And if your partner knows that, they can use that against you too. Because domestic abuse does not discriminate. It doesn't care what your sexual orientation is, your religion, your age, what neighborhood you live in. And that is another thing that abusers use against you. So keep that in mind also when you are dating and you want to go out with your friends. Kind of pay attention. Are you spending less and less time with your friends and with your family? Are you not socializing like you used to? Is your boyfriend or girlfriend the only person that you're with all the time now? It's 24/7 and you're always with them and nobody else, and they get upset if you're going to go spend time with somebody else and not them. If that is the case, high chance you are in an abusive relationship. Teen dating abuse is all about the power and control. Peer pressure. Your abuser can, like I said, threaten to expose someone's weaknesses or spread rumors. They can tell malicious lies about an individual to a peer group. They can put you down with your emotional abuse, putting you down, make you feel bad about yourself, telling you you're crazy, humiliate you in front of other people. They can use your social status, treating you like you're a servant, acting like he's the master of the castle. Intimidation makes someone, they make you feel, just by looking at you, make someone feel afraid by using their looks and gestures, smashing things, destroying property, displaying weapons to you. So sometimes even just the threat, they might not actually physically hit you. And that's another thing. Sometimes victims don't realize they're victims because they're not being physically abused. They can tell them, oh, well, I'm not being hit. He doesn't hit me. What are you talking about? I'm not a victim. But you might be the victim of the psychological, the verbal abuse. And even economic is another financial. If they're taking all your money, you're going to work and they're taking all your money. So it kind of goes both ways, where they can sabotage your job and make you lose your job because they don't want you doing better than them. Or they might like the fact that you're making money because they want to spend it. So they might be encouraging you, and yeah, go, you know, go work. You got to go work. I need some money. You got to go to work. And they're taking all your money. So if you're working and they're making you give their money to you, you are a victim of economic / financial abuse. Your money that you earn is your money. Even when you get married, if you are in a marriage and one person is controlling all the money and saying what you can and cannot spend, that is not a healthy relationship. Financial decisions in a marriage are made jointly, and you can set up a budget, and each one of you knows where the money's going. If you want to give yourselves an allowance to stay on budget, then that's okay. But when one person is controlling everything, that is not a healthy relationship. So teenagers are working now. So that goes for you too. And it's very, very important to learn it as a teenager, because if you don't, it can stay with you and follow you into your adulthood. You can end up becoming in an abusive marriage. Another reason why I like to talk about this topic more to teenagers, because I don't want anyone going through what I went through. Going into high school, I had dreams of going straight to college after high school. And because I was in an abusive relationship, that dream didn't come true for me. My abusive relationship started when I was 16, and it lasted until I was 29. I don't want anyone to go through that. Your teen years are the years that prepare you for adulthood after high school. They prepare you for life. And if you become involved in an abusive relationship at such a young age, and it becomes all you know, there's a high chance that you can spend your adulthood in there. Because if you don't realize you're a victim, you can spend many years as a victim, not even really realizing it. So in order to prevent that, stay involved in school. Make sure you're going to your classes. Have friends. Get involved in groups. If you go to church, become involved in the youth group. Have healthy relationships. Make sure that your friends and the people that you're around support you, encourage you, build you up, and tell you positive things and make you feel so good about yourself. Spend time with your family and do things with them. When somebody comes into your life and they start telling you, don't go to family functions. Oh, just come spend time with me. Oh, no, stop being with those friends. They're not good for you. You know, oh, I don't like her, you know, or I don't like him. You need to stop spending time with them. Start asking yourself. Write these things down. Make a checklist. And if anything starts to happen like this for you, let the red flags go up and know that this is not a healthy relationship for you, and end it. And don't think that, oh, well, if I break up, I'm not going to find anybody else. Oh, no, trust me. You are young, and you will find somebody else. There will be somebody out there who is going to appreciate you, and it's going to build you up and make you feel so good. I can honestly say, you know, for years I didn't know this, and I thought that after I divorced my husband at the age of 39, that I wasn't going to find anybody else, because that's what he made me believe, going to want me with two young kids. And because I had gone through so many years of psychological abuse and I didn't heal from that, I ended up getting into one abusive relationship after another. And it wasn't until I got into my mid-40s that I finally started to feel good about myself. And I am so grateful to say that now I am happily married to a wonderful man who is just a perfect example of every area of what a healthy relationship is. But I had to wait until I was 45 years old to meet him. And that's why I don't want anybody to go through that. I wasted so many years of my life being unhappy. And I don't want any other teenagers to go through this. So learn what healthy relationships are. Be with somebody that encourages you, lifts you up, makes you feel good. If the person that you're dating doesn't do that, if they make you sad, if they make you cry, if they put you down, if they keep you from your friends, your family, if they start making your grades in school go down, if they cause problems on your job, it's time to end that relationship. Don't settle. You don't deserve that. And it might not seem like that right now, if you feel that way. But I want you to know that you deserve so much happiness. And you can have it. It is possible. So I want to thank you, everybody, for listening tonight, talking about teen dating violence. If you are a teen and you would like some information, you can call the National Teen Dating Abuse Helpline, somebody to talk to. Their phone number is 1-866-331-9474. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-TALK. You can also reach out to Break the Silence Against Domestic Violence. On their website is www.breakthesilencedv.org. Thank you so much for joining me tonight on Breaking Our Silence. Until next time. This is your host, Lupe Moreno, wishing you a very good night.